The topic we wish to discuss today is entitled Endurers or Quitters. What are we? Those who endure to the end, or those who quit and throw our faith away? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence with joy today. We are aware that we are entering the last stage of the battle between good and evil, between you and Satan, between light and darkness, between love and hate, between truth and error. Satan is using every sophisticated means to discourage us, to give us depressions, hopelessness, to put every obstacle in our way, every attraction, so that we will quit, turn our backs to you, and follow the world. Please do not allow this to happen in our individual lives. Strengthen every person who is listening to this talk today. Let no one become a quitter, but an endurer. And all of this by your power. For we realize that it is not by power, nor by our strength, nor by our wisdom, nor by our education that we will win this battle, but by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Please speak through me now to all my wonderful brothers and sisters in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. Yes, dear friends, this is the topic, endurers or quitters. When God gave free will to all the intelligences of the universe, he made it possible for them to rebel. Yes, to sin, to hate him, to reject eternal life, and instead to love sin and to love death. God even permitted that beings such as Lucifer, Adam, Eve, Cain, the Canaanite nation, Nimrod, Achan, King Manasseh, Judas, and many others took part in God's plans by playing important roles in the drama presented on the stage of the world. Yes, they opposed him, and still the Lord allowed them to play an important role in the development of the entire plan of salvation. Tell me, why did God permit these enemies to interfere with his plans? Because he wanted to allow the universe to see how God acts in situations where unbelievers rebel against him and reject his grace. God wants the universe to be aware of the tremendous efforts he makes to save men and women. God wants the whole universe to be aware of the responsibility he feels toward those whom he created. The universe has a chance to see God's great love and patience toward all believers and unbelievers. The rebellion started by Lucifer developed into a great drama, a deadly controversy in which everything that God possessed was at stake. God risked losing all. Now, we don't know how long God bore with Lucifer when he rebelled against the Trinity, but we do know about the great patience, the tremendous long-suffering and faithfulness and endurance God showed toward the patriarchs and then his people Israel during the thousands of years of their history. God offered them all numerous opportunities, many opportunities to repent and turn again to him for God knew that ultimately many of his subjects would choose to love and obey him and receive the same spirit and attitude that animated him. The history of Israel and the Christian church demonstrates God's tolerance, faithfulness, and loving patience with men. Dear friends, the Lord expects the same attitude from us, the redeemed, that he has. Namely, patience, endurance, perseverance, faithfulness, stick-to-itiveness. All this must permeate our character as well. The Bible and the history of the church is filled with examples of men and women who steadfastly persevered and endured to the end under the most severe circumstances. On the other hand, we also find the record of Christians who at a certain point of their life gave up their faith and quit. Jesus Christ warns us not to do this with these words in Matthew 24:13. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. Matthew 10:22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Unfortunately, millions of Christians refuse to endure in their faith when difficulties arise. They have no perseverance, no firmness of mind and spirit, no stamina, no courage, no hope to carry them through experiences of opposition and times of temptation. They give up and walk out on Christ and his church. In Matthew 13:18-22, Jesus describes such unfaithful, weak Christians that give up, that quit. Let us read together. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky grounds, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, 10, even 20 years or more. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, that means the pleasures of sin, and the delight in riches, materialism, choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. What a tragic description of those who quit. Here are three types of Christians, yes, Seventh Adventists, who received once Christ and his gospel with joy, but they never grew up to maturity, but fell later on by the wayside. I meet them everywhere I go. Jesus referred to the same condition of unfaithfulness in some of his followers in Luke 14:28-30. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish. Yes, tragically, there are now Seventh Adventists who begin well and end poorly. They are quitters. And Christ responds to such unfaithful Christians in the following words in Hebrews 10:38. My righteous one will live by faith, but if he shrinks back, did you hear that? If he or she shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him or her. Oh, friends, don't shrink back now that we are standing at the very door of eternity. No, friends, you and I must learn the principles. After suffering always comes a tremendous blessing. It's not enough to say, oh, I'm waiting for the Lord. Because anyone can become tired of waiting. We need also tremendous endurance now, perseverance, penetrating power, stick-to-itiveness, especially when you are resisted and opposed, counteracted and tempted from all sides. And such a dynamic Christian does not set a date for the Lord to come through in answer to a specific prayer request. He never says, oh Lord, unless you answer my prayer request by next December, I will give you up. This will be an affront to the Lord, and it would endanger your salvation. The Lord would say, how can I work with a person in this life or eternity when he says to me, if you, Lord, will not listen to me and give me what I ask for, I will stop believing and cooperating with you. The Lord will answer such a person, oh, I'm sorry. The time and the manner of answering your prayer are in my hands, not yours. They are my prerogatives. Don't worry, child. I never come too late. I never come too early. My timing is always perfect. Dear friends, take Enoch, for example. In the midst of a life of active labor, Enoch steadfastly maintained his communion with God. The greater and more pressing his labors were, the more constant and earnest were his prayers. We read this all in the Spirit of Prophecy, Education 254. How often those who trusted the word of God, though in themselves utterly helpless, have withstood the power of the whole world. Enoch, pure in heart, holy in life, holding fast his faith in the triumph of righteousness against the corrupt and scoffing generation. Gospel Workers 52. In the family and in his relationships with people, as a husband and father, a friend, a citizen, Enoch was the steadfast, unwavering servant of God. Now, it's true that we must carefully cultivate such passive virtues as gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, love toward others. But my dear brothers and sisters, at the same time, we should also develop the active virtues that are absolutely essential to overcome our enemies, the obstacles, temptations that Satan puts in our way. These active virtues I'm talking about are courage, determination, energy, penetrating force, perseverance, resistance, resoluteness, endurance under stress. For instance, the great reformer Martin Luther said to the religious and political leaders of Germany in his day, here I stand. I cannot do anything else. and he was willing to accept the consequences. For instance, to the wife who tries everything in order to oppose your acceptance of certain biblical truths, you must say firmly, "Darling, I love you. Yes, I esteem you greatly, but please don't dare to come between me and my Lord Jesus Christ. I will not tolerate that." To the friend who tries to lead you into sin, you must say firmly, "Dear Jack, I appreciate your friendship, but please stop immediately to try to lead me into a life that is dishonoring to my Lord. Because if you refuse to stop, we shall never see each other again." Yes, friends, we need to have a balance in our character. Love, gentleness, kindness mixed with tough determination, resoluteness and resistance. The two must go together. For instance, Jacob had such a persevering, tough faith. He wrestled with the angel of the Lord from midnight till daybreak. And when he discovered with whom he was wrestling, he cried out, "Oh, I will not let you go until you bless me." In other words, "I will not let you go until you give me a new start in life, conversion, a new birth. I want to change." And God granted the request because he saw the tremendous perseverance of Jacob. Or take Elijah. Elijah showed an unyielding persistence on Mount Carmel. He pleaded with God for fire first, and then later for rain, until he got both. We too must present our petitions to God, our Father, with determination, claiming all his promises, knocking at the door of his throne room without ceasing. His honor is at stake, and I know he will fulfill what he promised, my friend. Take Joseph. You know, he was rejected by his family, innocently accused in Potiphar's house. Nevertheless, Joseph persevered in keeping his moral purity. Daniel endured the accusations and hatred of the political and religious leaders in Babylon. He kept on praying to God, in spite of the king's decree to the contrary. And as a result, he was cast into a lion's den. Yes, Daniel refused to compromise his principles. Job suffered the loss of everything that was precious to him. His children, his health, the love of his wife, his wealth, his friends. He didn't know for many months why he had to suffer so much. Nevertheless, he preserved his integrity and remained faithful to God. Jeremiah wound up on the cold, muddy bottom of an old well because he courageously proclaimed to his nation the unpopular message of God. John was banished to an island in the Mediterranean, the island of Patmos, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, though, the Bible says. Oh, dear friends, the world cannot discern the moral value of such men and women who remain true to principle and faithful to God under adverse circumstances. These men and women had the faith of Jesus, a faith which calmly reposes in God in the darkest hour. Only the eye of faith can look beyond time and sense the worth of eternal riches. Hebrews 11:26. Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Hebrews 11:38-39. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, meaning eternal life at that time. They had to wait in the grave until Jesus returns. They will receive what was promised, but only when Jesus returns. That's what that means. Dear brothers and sisters, it takes great moral courage, great firmness, decisive action, perseverance, courage, lots of prayer to step out to be counted today and to stand up for Christ's truth today in our modern world and thereby become unpopular and unappreciated by the world. Jesus Christ, your Savior, will never leave you nor forsake you under any circumstances. You will never be alone in your struggle. You and I must learn that after suffering always comes a great blessing. When your prayers are not answered immediately, don't give up. Time is the test. God purposely delays His answer to test the genuineness of your faith. Time is the test. God says to you, "Do you still believe that I can solve your problem, child?" And you must always answer, "Yes, Lord, I believe you can." And then He will make your situation even harder to bear. And He asks you again, "Do you still believe that I can solve your problem?" "Yes, Lord, I believe," you must answer. And suddenly God will give you the solution to your problem, and you will greatly rejoice. He will say, "It shall be according to your faith." As I was traveling in Europe, I met a Christian pastor. Now, he was not of our denomination, who complained to me of the tremendous opposition of his beautiful young wife. She did not want him to be a preacher. She wanted him to remain a successful architect. He had built subway systems. He had built skyscrapers. He had built bridges. And suddenly, he had turned in the license and had become an evangelical Christian preacher. But his wife immediately began to hate him for it. She wanted to live a luxurious lifestyle. She threatened to divorce him. She wanted him to go to those wild parties that he went to before he was converted. She had opposed him so much when he began to study the Word of God and prepared for the ministry. It was a living hell for him. He told me, "Well, I was miserable, but I did not want to quit. As a matter of fact, I rebuked my dear wife. I warned her. I pleaded with her to stop. But it didn't work. I told her many times that she will perish in hell if she kept on in her reckless life." At every stage of this deteriorating process in the moral life of his wife, he was praying perseveringly, "Lord, I don't want to quit. You didn't say, 'Follow your wife,' you said, 'Follow me.' Please give me the strength, the courage to resist my wife's pressure. And please, Lord, convert her. Please have mercy on her. Please make her stop following the world, sin, and the devil." And he would say every day, if he had an opportunity, "Darling, I still love you. In spite of all the evil that you commit, God and I still love you. Please turn to Jesus. Why do you want to perish? Why do you want to destroy our beautiful family?" And then one day, the miracle happened. She came to him in a very, very lowly and meek way and said, "Last night, the Lord spoke to me in a dream. I saw him high and exalted. I saw him surrounded by millions of angels. I saw his beauty. And he spoke to me and said, return to your husband, and we both will forgive you and use you in a mighty way. Go back to him. And she said, darling, I woke up and I repented. I asked the Lord for his forgiveness. I asked his blood to cover my awful sins and to forgive the opposition, the hatred that I gave you. I will turn around. I will study the Bible with you. I will be a faithful pastor's wife for the rest of my life. And today she abhors herself and her old lifestyle. And she admires her husband's patience, love, perseverance, endurance, firmness, which won him the victory. Oh, dear friend, if you find yourself in a similar, difficult situation, please don't panic. Don't say to God, unless you change my situation by the end of the year, I'm going to give you up. I can't stand this. No. The Lord would say, how can I work with you in this life and in eternity? Please don't set any date or times when I have to act on your behalf. Dear friends, the Lord will either solve your problem, change your circumstance, give you a solution, or else he will give you more strength to bear your heavy burden. And either solution is acceptable. The Lord Jesus wants to do greater things for you than you dare to imagine. Therefore, Jesus allows you and me sometimes to go down deep into difficulties, so that he can later lift us up to a greater height. The Lord says to you today, dear child, even if you cannot understand what I'm allowing Satan to do in your life, trust in me and go forward in faith. For example, take the story of Esther. Satan hated the Jews and he hated Mordecai. Satan nearly succeeded to destroy both through Haman. Just think of the sudden change of events in the life of Mordecai, who instead of being hanged, was led by his worst enemy, Haman, through the streets of the city while sitting on the king's finest horse. And on top of it, his enemy, Haman, was compelled by the king to cry out to the citizens of that city, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Esther 6:9. Imagine what a humiliation that was for Haman. But you know, it was not Haman who hated Mordecai. It was Satan. Behind everyone who hates you and opposes you is the devil. He allows to use any instrument that's not committed to Jesus to oppose a genuine Christian. Yes, it might even be your husband or your wife. Now, this wonderful story of Esther illustrates the sovereignty of God, how God rules over all the affairs of men, even over Satan's plans. Yes, you and I must understand that life is a great play and counterplay between Christ and Satan. It's a privilege for you and me to be hated, persecuted, and attacked for Jesus' sake. And we do not realize how much depends on our endurance. If we fail and walk out on Jesus and quit, then his plans fail too, temporarily. Of course, the Lord can correct our failures, but then he has to carry out his purpose without us. And we, individually, suffer a great loss. Consider the example of David and Bathsheba. After David's failure, God said to David, my name has been greatly dishonored and blasphemed among the heathens because of what you did, David. In other words, God's honor and reputation was at stake. Our victory is His victory, and our failure is His failure, temporarily. Or take Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times. This was a temporary defeat for Jesus too. I'm sure that the devil mocked Jesus and said, "Ha ha, did you hear your key disciple denying and cursing you 3 times? But Jesus did not give up his disciples. Instead, he changed Peter and made him a great overcomer. Yes, God's will always prevails in the end. God does everything possible to save us from utter failure and from a seemingly hopeless and lost situation. Another example. All mankind was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. Of course, Satan rejoiced and said to God, "Now mankind belongs to me forever." But Jesus answered Satan, "No, I will recover that which is lost." And Jesus took drastic measures to reclaim the human race. Of course, the process took 6,000 years. But through his sinless life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, Jesus took us out of Satan's dominion. Or consider how God solved the difficult crisis in the entire universe. When Lucifer apostatized and split the whole universe into 2 camps, with his rebellion. Many billions of angels sided with Satan, while others remained faithful to God. But even those beings who did not openly war against God in heaven had their doubts about the love and justice of God. For Satan had said, "God is a tyrant. He kills anyone who disagrees with him or who makes the smallest mistake." But God, through his marvelous demonstration as a human being on earth, showed the whole universe the very character of God, that he was the essence of love, gentleness, kindness, forgiveness, offering everyone many chances. And the whole universe today is convinced of it. Abraham first believed God's unusual promise that a child will be born to him, in spite of his old age and Sarah's old age. Romans 4:18 says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" But unfortunately, later Abraham became unstable and lost his trust in God's promise. He accepted Sarah's proposition to take her servant Hagar as a second wife. The result was disastrous. The result was Ishmael, a son after the flesh. Only when Abraham was 100 years old did the promise of a son by faith come true. Sarah finally gave birth to Isaac. They had to wait 25 years for the fulfillment of God's promise. Dear friends, the key words of the overcomer is endurance, perseverance, faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, friends, this involves thorough self-discipline and self-control.
Hebrews 11:13. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Tell me, why do rough, rude, dictatorial business leaders today rule over the lives of so many Christians? Or why do uncooperative wives make life unpleasant to seven Adventist laymen and ministers who are being greatly used by God? Or why is suffering, difficulties, crisis the lot of many Adventists today? Because all those who receive great revelations from Jesus Christ or receive a great ministry from Him are in danger of spiritual pride, arrogance, and presumption. And therefore, they need a thorn in their flesh to keep them small, humble, and spiritual. We read in James 5:7-11, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the fall and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Yes, dear friends, today we all need a great deal of endurance and perseverance in our personal spiritual lives like never before. We need to endure in our daily personal devotions, feeding our souls. Don't let the rat race of making money, staying in business, take you away from time with the Bible, the spirit of prophecy, prayer, fellowship with other Adventists weekly in your homes. No. Go even further. Choose a dedicated older teacher who meets with you weekly in your home and gives you a Bible lesson. Choose to use your home and your business or wherever you go as the ground for evangelism. Speak about Christ and our truth everywhere you go. Even become a lay preacher. There ought to be thousands and thousands of lay preachers in our country who take the pulpit. We also need to keep on nourishing and educating our local churches in the revival meetings in order to keep their first law, love, and spirituality on a high level. As a matter of fact, revival comes before evangelism. Revival is evangelizing our own people. In Revelation 2:14-25, Jesus says to the church of Pergamos, "I have a few things against you. You have people there also who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by committing sexual immorality. Hold on to what you have until I come." Revelation 3:11. "I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." And that's addressed to you and me today in the 1980s. We need to endure in our witness to relatives, friends who are not yet in Christ and not yet baptized in our church, to encourage them daily through our example, through prayer and witnessing, to enter into a holy covenant with Jesus Christ. And the spirit of prophecy gives us precious counsel today concerning the need of endurance. Listen to Early Writings 47. God has shown me that he gave his people a bitter cup to drink, to purify and cleanse them. It is a bitter draught, and they can make it still more bitter by murmuring, complaining, and repining. But those who receive it thus must have another draught, for the first does not have its designed effect upon the heart. And if the second does not affect the work, then they must have another and another, until it does have its destined effect, or they will be left filthy, impure in heart. I saw that this bitter cup can be sweetened by patience, endurance, and prayer, and it will have its designed effect upon the hearts of those who thus receive it, and God will be honored and glorified. Four Testimonies 4:39. You must work with perseverance, constancy, and zeal if you would succeed. You will have yourself to conquer, which will be the hardest battle of all. Yes, self is the hardest thing to conquer. Ministry of Healing 4:97. The Christian life does not consist wholly in gentleness, patience, meekness, and kindliness. No. These graces are essential, but there is need also of courage, force, energy, and perseverance. The path that Christ marks out is a narrow, self-denying path. To enter that path and press on through difficulties and discouragements requires men who are more than weaklings. 5 Thessalonians 3:12. He has given us also blessings in disguise. He understands the necessities of fallen man. And while he has given us advantages on the one hand, on the other, there are inconveniences which are designed to stimulate us to use the ability he has given us. These develop patient industry, perseverance, and courage. Third spiritual gifts, 2:76. Here the Lord proved Moses. He knew that it was a laborious and soul-trying work to lead that rebellious people through to the promised land. He would test the perseverance, faithfulness, and love of Moses for such an erring and ungrateful people. 2 Testimonies 101 to 102. She must encourage decision, fortitude, steadiness of purpose, which will not be swerved to the right or left by circumstances. She will have to possess perseverance and firmness in the work of overcoming, or she will be overcome and lose her soul. It is the steady purpose, the untiring effort, that will gain the victory at last. It is he who endures to the end that shall be saved. Messages to Young People, 121. Those who are ever growing in grace will be steadfast in the faith and moving forward. The only way to remain steadfast is to progress daily in divine life. Desire of Ages 312. Purity and steadfastness of purpose are the conditions of receiving light from God. He who desires to know the truth must be willing to accept all that it reveals. Oh, my dear friends, endurance means waiting for something until it is received, until it is realized. Psalm 123. As the eyes of a slave look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he shows us his mercy. Psalm 130, verse 6. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Yes, friend, God expects you and me to believe, to trust, to wait and wait and wait. Not looking at the difficult circumstances, but looking to Jesus. He wants us to trust in Him and His promises until our prayers are answered. How long? Until it happens. Until the thing you ask for comes true. When the Israelites were in Egypt, they knew that God had promised to lead them back into the land of Canaan after 400 years. But they became weak in their faith and gave up their hope. They quit. They murmured and they rebelled. They refused to wait till the word of God became true. What a tragedy that was. Israel had been hoping for the Messiah for 1,500 years. But their hope died. And false teachings about the coming of the promised Messiah crept in. Only a handful of Jews waited and endured patiently until the Messiah appeared. And such people were Simeon, Hannah, or the three wise men from the Orient. Again, Joseph was 15 years old when he received from God the two beautiful dreams, promising him that his family would greatly honor him one day. But 2 years later, the opposite of those dreams happened. Instead of being honored by family, he was rejected by them and sold down into Egypt as a slave. Later, he even had to go to jail for life. Nevertheless, Joseph never quit, never gave up his hope and his vision of the glorious future of those two dreams. Never. At the age of 30, those dreams suddenly came true overnight due to a dream of Pharaoh. Joseph endured superbly. Moses, on the other hand, lost faith in deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage because after lingering 40 years in that dried out wilderness as a shepherd, he didn't believe that God would ever use him again. Yes, when God appeared in a burning bush to Moses, he expressed his doubts, his weak faith, with these words. Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Did you hear that? Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it, because I don't have any more faith. Yeah, that's in Exodus 4, verse 13. Or take the 100,000 Seventh-day Adventists in 1844. They did not endure in their faith after the disappointment when Christ did not return when they expected him in 1844. And when Jesus desired to return to earth between 1888 and 1903, he could not carry out his plans because Laodicea, his people, were not spiritually ready. Oh, how many of us today are quitting and are giving up our faith in Jesus' soon return. In 1 Peter 1:7 we read, Now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater wealth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. My dear brothers and sisters, you and I must endure, not quit. Endure, not just in our faith in God's promises, but also in our love for Christ and our fellow man. We must demonstrate a love that never gives up, a love that never quits, even enduring when a person whom we love or are married to, or one of our sons and daughters opposes us and walks out. We keep on loving them until the end. But that's what 1 Corinthians 13:8 says. It says, love, that means Calvary love, God's love, never fails, never fades out, never becomes obsolete, never comes to an end. Then he continues, as for prophecy, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, languages, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But genuine love will never come to an end. Friend, if your love for someone comes to an end, you can be sure that it is not of God. For real love never gives up, never fails. Jesus Christ expresses the same truth about endurance in Luke 14:28-30. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "Ha, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish it." For this reason, Jesus admonishes all now with these words in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man or a woman remains in me and I in him, you see, that means enduring, persevering, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The Christian church of the first century, Ephesus, did not endure in their love for Christ. They quit. In Revelation 2:4, Jesus said to them, "You have forsaken your first love." Has not Laodicea done the same? Lost her fervent love for Jesus Christ? It says that in Revelation 3:15-16. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And then in verse 19, those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. When the Galatians departed from the gospel of Christ, Paul asked them, "What has happened to all your joy? What has become of that blessed enjoyment and satisfaction that once was yours?" Galatians 4:15. Don't you think that the Apostle Paul could ask that same question to us Adventists today? We have been waiting for God's promise to send Jesus Christ back to earth for over 140 years. In view of this tremendous delay, we need an enormous amount of endurance and perseverance. In Mark 13:35-36, Jesus says to us today, "Therefore keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping." Luke 12:37. "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth. He will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them." What a reward! But what will happen to those seven Adventists who have not endured, who have quit, who have not been faithful? Matthew 24:48-51. "But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time, And he begins to beat his fellow servants. That means feed themselves and being cruel to their brothers and sisters. And to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, tremendous remorse. Or take the five foolish virgins. They did not have sufficient oil in their lamps because they quit. They did not endure. They did not abide in Christ. They spent no time with him. They were still religious, still waiting for Christ. They were Seventh Adventists, but they quit. They did not carefully and diligently nurture their love relationship with Jesus Christ. The words of Ezekiel 12, 22 and 28 could be applied to us Adventists today. Son of man, what is this proverb you have in the land of Israel? The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. Therefore say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. None of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever I say will be fulfilled, declares the Sovereign Lord. Or take Habakkuk 2:2-3. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Hebrews 10:39. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. My dear brethren and sisters, follow the example of Jesus Christ. This is what it says about him, Hebrews 12, 2-3 and 4. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured. Did you hear it? Endured the cross. He didn't quit. Scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Yes, friends, God is testing our faith today to the bone. I'm included. He tests our love. He tests our character. He tests our endurance. Don't be quitters. Be endurers. In the last 24 hours of his life, Jesus was tested to the utmost extreme. The question then was, how much can the Son of God bear? On the cross, Jesus endured to the bitter end. Yes, he was victorious. He cried out, "It is finished." Today, God is doing the same with you and me. Will you endure as Jesus did? Will you also be able to say, "It is finished. Now I can go home with Jesus"? Don't be quitters. Be endurers, my friends, my brothers and sisters. Let us go home together. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.